Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is towards the end of the second part of the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. We know the Bible is divided in these two sections. Hebrews at the end of the second section. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to begin reading specifically verse 28 of chapter 12 through to 13 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28, it says this, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those that are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." So far the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a stranger, to be an outsider, is not an easy thing, is it? Children, some of you perhaps remember the first day that you went to school. And that was a scary day for you. It was a day when you went into a situation that you knew nothing about. You didn't know anybody in the classroom. You didn't understand what was going to happen that day. You maybe went in with a lot of fear. Children, you who have transferred to another school, you know the same thing. Even for those of you who are older, if you go into a new high school, for example, it's a scary thing to be going to school that first day and not knowing anyone. As adults, we know what this is like as well. When you start a new job or you move to a new area, you don't know anyone. You don't have any friendships. You don't have those acquaintances, those people that make you feel comfortable. Some of you here this afternoon perhaps have immigrated from another country. And you know how hard that is. Some of our families have immigrated from Holland. Others have come from different countries, Iran, Iraq. That's a challenge, isn't it? It's a learning curve. Fitting into a new culture, learning a new language is really a tough thing on you. You feel vulnerable. You feel without community. And interestingly, this has had an effect on the society that we're living in. I just read an article this week entitled, "Canada Has a Loneliness Problem." And it speaks of how many today have little connectedness, little relationship with others. There's a lot of people who have homes in great communities, yet they don't know anyone in the area that they're living. This article goes on to say, it explains that it's literally killing people today. It says the risk of dying prematurely from social isolation and loneliness is comparable to other risk factors such as smoking. Incredible. So this afternoon our theme is learning to love strangers. It's fitting. It's taken from our text in Hebrews 13, verse 2, where it says that this is something that we are not to neglect as a church. Do not forget, it says, to entertain strangers. Now, this is in the context, brothers and sisters, of Romans 11 and 12, passages that we all know very well. And in these passages, it speaks of the race that the Christian is running. It's a race that is full of obstacles. It's a race that's full of difficulties. It's a race where there are many that are opposing you in the faith. And the encouragement is, look, don't lose heart, don't grow weary, don't fall down in that race. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So there's an encouragement there, even though the church might face these tremendous difficulties, even persecution itself, we are not to lose hope. We are to look to Jesus, our Savior. And in Hebrews 12, at the end of that beautiful passage, there's an interesting verse there. It says this, verse 28. Look with me in your Bibles. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. So there's a transition here. Chapters 11 and 12 describing the struggle we're in, and then chapter 13, the application of it, where it's fleshed out. And here, at the beginning of the chapter, it explains what it means to serve God acceptably. In verse 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2, it says, do not forget to entertain strangers. First of all, brotherly love. Well, we know, brothers and sisters, that in Scripture, the church is referred to as the household of faith. Another term that's used is the family of God. We are brothers and sisters. We have the same Heavenly Father. We can say, in a sense, that we are blood relatives, aren't we? We know that the Church of Jesus Christ is to be a place where Christian love is to be shown, where people walk in and they feel that love. They're enveloped into the body of Christ. John 13:35 says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the church is to be a place where warm Christian fellowship is practiced. A place where we get together regularly to worship. But it's also to be a place where we learn to show Christian love in a real way. Where deep, genuine, lifelong friendships are built. Now, what does this look like? Well, brothers and sisters, we know some of these things. We practice these things. They're nothing new. But it means, first of all, that we have each other into our homes and invite one another over. I hope that this is something that you are doing regularly. A lot of you are new to this church. This is a large church. There are many members in this church. I've recently been told there's over 600 people regularly attending or who are members here. Now, as a Church of Jesus Christ, what does it mean? Well, we have to invite people in. We have to get to know one another. So hospitality, that is, love between brothers, needs to be expressed regularly, consistently between us. What are the other ways that we show Christian love? Well, it means taking care of those who are needy, the sick, the widows, the orphans. Again and again, Scripture speaks about this need in the church, that the Church of Jesus Christ is to take these things seriously. Together, we meet as elders in this church with the pastors. We talk about these things. How is it that we can take care of people? How is it that we can bring the Church of God together? How can we be more efficient in taking care of the needs within the church? This is all part of showing brotherly love that verse 1 is talking about. It means doing activities to build relationships as well. This summer we had the opportunity to go camping together. What a fantastic idea, brothers and sisters. After we came back from those 2 days, I said to my wife, I said, I think I had more time with people in those 2 days than I have in the whole past year. These are great things to talk about. These are great activities to be involved with. If you weren't there this past summer, we're going to have another opportunity this coming summer. They've already picked out dates. But this is what verse 1 is talking about. It's talking about brotherly love in the church, showing this in real ways. Verse 2 goes on. It says that the church is not just to show brotherly love, but it is to go even further than that. Not just to those in the church, but it uses the word hospitality, which is correctly translated, a love of strangers. That is, getting to know and getting into relationship with people that you don't know. Now, sometimes, brothers and sisters, I think we've been confused about this somewhat. Sometimes when we have someone over after church, we tend to think, well, I've practiced hospitality. Well, technically, biblically, that is not the case. What we have done is we have shown brotherly love. Here, it's speaking about something more particular, something more necessary, and it says that this is something that we are not to neglect. He's putting special emphasis on this. He's saying, look, this is something the church needs to be involved in. Don't neglect it. And the reason that we cannot neglect this, brothers and sisters, is because it relates directly to who we are as believers. It relates to our identity in Christ. The Bible says that we were once strangers, weren't we? Before coming to Christ, we can say that we were on the outside. But then, Christ came to us. He showed His love to us. Ephesians 2 says He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. What an amazing thing, right? We were on the outside before, but now we are part of the body of Christ, the household of God. Now, if you are a Christian here today, you know what this means. You know that you have been forgiven from your sins. You know that Christ has called you with His love to be His child. You know that you are accepted as a part of His family. And now, brothers and sisters, that's a part of our DNA, isn't it? To love God and our neighbor, the fulfillment of the law. And the Bible says that we are now called to love as Christ has loved us. To share with strangers, like we were, this amazing love. And when we look at the life of Christ, this is what we see right away, isn't it? Something that no one expected of the Messiah. Everyone expected that He would go to the religious, that He would go to the educated, that He would go to the upper crust. Christ didn't go there, did He? He went to the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the lepers, to those who were rejected, brothers and sisters, by almost everyone else. We can say that Jesus went to the marginalized of His day. He sat with them, Scripture tells us. He interacted with them. He cared about them. And more importantly, He explained the gospel to them. What it meant to have a relationship with His Father. And when you look at the historical account of the church in the New Testament, you see that this is what they did. You look at the book of Acts, for example. What is it that the church did when they were persecuted, when they were scattered? But brothers and sisters, they didn't go out complaining, did they? They didn't go out whining about the things that they didn't have, how God wasn't working in their life. They didn't go out asking the question, Lord, why are You doing this to me? You know, what is going on? Lord, why are things out of control? No. It says in Acts that they went out proclaiming the gospel to everyone, declaring that truth, declaring what God had done for them, because they wanted everyone to know. And this is what we see again and again in the New Testament, don't we? We see the church of Jesus Christ living in this way. In Matthew 25, for example, Jesus gives a description of the true Christian. You remember in the parable of the sheep and the goats. In verse 35, Jesus says, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." You know the interesting thing about that passage, brothers and sisters? Is that those folks couldn't remember doing those things. We can say it was so part of their DNA, it was so part of what was ingrained in them, it was who they were. They couldn't even remember going out and doing those things in the name of Christ. And this is what our passage in Hebrews 13 is teaching us. Look with me at verse 3. It says, verse 2, "Do not forget to entertain strangers." Verse 3, it says, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are also in the body." Our love is to be so great, brothers and sisters, it's as if we were in prison with those who are suffering, those who were put in jail. We should have such a heart for the lost that is how we feel about them. We should have such a desire to share Christ's love for them that this is what gives us joy. That's the most important thing in our life, that others would come to know the Savior that we have come to know. So first of all, it says we're supposed to practice brotherly love. We're supposed to practice hospitality. We're supposed to have a love for strangers. But I'd like to now think with you about what this looks like today. What are the ways that we are to show hospitality? And for the remainder of our time, I want to speak of some of the practical ways that we are called to do this as a church. Because sometimes we can have the concept, but we don't always know how to bring it down to the real world. The first thing that I'd like to suggest to you this afternoon is that biblical hospitality involves taking time for people outside of our family and friends, outside of our social bubble. Now, this may seem very basic, but if we are to show Christ's love to people, we have to have a connection with them, don't we? We have to engage with them, don't we? One of the speakers this week used this definition of worldliness. He said, "Worldliness is whatever makes sin look normal and righteousness look strange." And when you apply this definition to the times that we live in today, we can safely say that one of the cultural norms is to focus on yourself. One of the gods of our age really is to be focused on your own comfort, your own desires, what feels good. Today we hear the phrase, "You do you," right? I don't know what that means exactly, but I hear it all the time. You do you. But what I think it means is whatever pleases you, whatever turns your crank, as we used to say, whatever is important to you, well, you have the right to follow that, to spend your time in that, to focus on that. Our comforts, our entertainment, the things that we are passionate about, if that means it's Netflix binging, well, you go for it. That's the thing you like. live that way. If you're a gamer and you want to game all night, well, if that feels good, go for it. And brothers and sisters, many times today, even in the church, we're living a very comfortable life. We give very little thought about reaching outside of our comfort zone. A lot of what the world teaches and a lot of our culture has crept into the church, we can say. And as we look at our own lives, our crazy, busy lives, between work and school and sports and entertainment, sometimes there's little room left for anything or anyone else. We need to ask ourselves the question, how are we going to love strangers if we don't take the time to talk with them? If we're living our lives as islands, as in isolation, then before God, we have a spiritual problem, don't we? So first of all, this afternoon, I'd like you to give serious thought to this in your life. Take some time and think about the people that God has brought into your life. As Reformed believers, we believe that God is sovereign. We believe that God has placed every one of us in the exact place that He desires us to be. In the exact context, He knows all of your friends. He knows all of the guys that you work with or gals that you work with. He knows everything about you. He has a particular purpose for you right where you are. Know that. And if that is the case, if that is the truth, brothers and sisters, it means that there are people that God desires for you to speak to about your faith. So, brothers and sisters, engage with them. More specifically, write down their names. Think specifically about people that you could be praying for and should be praying for. Maybe it's a neighbor that you don't know. Maybe it's that difficult boss at work. Maybe it's someone else in your life that you meet now and again. Pray about it. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to engage with that person. Help me to make a relationship with that person, to form a friendship with that person. God calls us to be purposeful in building relationships with those outside of our bubble. So first of all, what does it mean to practice hospitality? Simply, it means to make connection with those on the outside. Secondly, biblical hospitality involves opening our homes. Every one of you here this afternoon has a home to live in. If you don't, maybe you should come speak to me afterwards. We'll find a place for you to live. But brothers and sisters, we know that a home is more than a house. It's a place where we eat and sleep. It's a place that we raise our family. As Christians, we understand the home is a sacred place. It's a place where we raise our children, where we show them the love of God. We can say it's a safe haven. Sometimes we say home is where your heart is. I know for myself, when I'm on the road, when I'm traveling, I look forward to going home. It's a beautiful place. It's a warm, comfortable place where I know my wife is going to receive me. This is something that we focus on as Christians, to build a Christian home. Maybe you've read books on this. Maybe you've thought about this a lot. It's a wonderful thing. Our young couples, when they get married, that's the thing we desire for them, that they would grow a Christian home. It's an amazing thing to see young people who get excited about this. But brothers and sisters, while it is important for us and our children to have a loving Christian home, it is also something that we are to share with those outside the church. In the New Testament, much of what they did revolved around the home. Many times they didn't have worship centers. They worshiped in home, didn't they? They shared food in their homes. They shared their faith in their homes. When you think about it, what better setting is there for people to see a Christian? It's where they're most comfortable, where they're living out their faith. Now, in professional sports, we sometimes talk about home field advantage. What does that mean? Well, it simply means that if you're playing in front of your people, you're playing where you're comfortable, you're going to do well. Stats tell us that this team's do better when they're at home. They do better when they're at home than when they're on the road. Now, brothers and sisters, when we think of evangelism and mission, we can say that this is our home advantage. When we're sharing what we believe, when we're living out what we believe in our home, people are able to see in a very tangible way what it means to know and to love Jesus Christ. And this is why it's so important for the Christian to open their home to others. When you talk to missionaries, those who go to foreign fields, many times they will tell you that they will spend years and years and years simply opening their home, sharing meals with people, explaining to them in simple ways around a table. And this is what God calls us to do, to use our homes to our advantage, to use our homes to invite people in, to have meals with them. Maybe some of you have read this book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Rosaria Butterfield, fantastic book. She was a lady who grew up far from Christ, a very difficult home, a mother who hated anything about the gospel. She got her studies. She became involved in an alternative lifestyle. She studied and got her doctorate in gay studies. She was a lady that was changed by the gospel through people that invited her in. She's written this book. I want to read to you what she says about hospitality. Just a few words. Again, I'd recommend the entire book. But she says this: those who live out radically, this is in the preface, those who live out radically ordinary hospitality see their homes not as theirs at all, but as God's gift to use for the furtherance of His kingdom. They open doors. They seek out the underprivileged. They know that the gospel comes with a house key. Offering radical, ordinary hospitality is an everyday thing at our house. It starts early with minestrone soup simmering on one burner and a pot of steamed rice warming on another. It ends late with my husband making beds on the couches and blowing up air mattresses for a traveling stranded family. A truly hospitable heart anticipates everyday Christ-centered table fellowship and guests who are genuinely in need. Such a heart seeks opportunities to serve. Radically ordinary hospitality doesn't keep fussy lists or make a big deal about invitations. Invitations are open. So, brothers and sisters, learn to invite people into your homes. I want to give you just a few very practical pointers in this. First of all, don't sweat a messy house. Don't sweat a messy house. In fact, that's going to make people more comfortable when they see that you can bring them into your home just the way it is. Number two, don't make fancy meals. Offer people what you are eating that night, even if it's Kraft dinner, even if it's just hot dogs. It doesn't matter. Make the emphasis on the visitation, not the food. Thirdly, learn to enjoy your time with others. The more that you relax, the more they will. And as you learn to relax and as you learn to open your life to others, you learn to let God work, to guide the conversations, to show you what to say. It's amazing how God can turn a conversation around. You may be talking about sports and there's an opportunity to speak about your faith. Remember, you're modeling your faith to your children. Remember that they're looking at you, they're hearing perhaps questions about the faith that they are hearing outside. And there in your home, in the safety of your home, you're able to answer those questions not only for the people that are visiting you, but also for your children. One more pointer. Don't get jaded. Sometimes when we're practicing hospitality and people don't show up, we can sometimes say to ourselves, well, I'm never doing that again. But brothers and sisters, expect it. Expect that people won't show up or they're going to come late. A lot of times other cultures aren't as interested in showing up on time as we are. Don't get jaded. But brothers and sisters, open your homes. Allow people to see into your life. It's a window into your life where they are able to see a snapshot of what the gospel looks like. So biblical hospitality involves opening our homes to strangers. Thirdly and lastly, biblical hospitality involves expecting that God will work and being blessed through the people that he sends. Oh, in verse 2, it says of Hebrews chapter 13, going back there, it says, don't forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, children, I don't know if you've ever seen an angel. I haven't. But I would love to see an angel. You know the best way, best chance at seeing an angel is to have your parents invite people into your home. Now we know that Abraham and Lot, it's referring to these stories when they invited people to sit down and eat with them. And it turned out that they were angels. They were people different than they appeared. Now, brothers and sisters, we may not ever have an angel come and sit around at our table and eat with us. But let me tell you, you will be blessed when you begin to open your home to others. I know I've spoken with some of you who have had international students into your home. Maybe the first time you did it, you were a little worried about it. You know, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to serve? All of that. But after you do it the first time, it's great, isn't it? To hear their stories, to hear where they've come from, to be able to interact with them. But you don't know who you're going to have sitting with you. It might be a PhD student. It might be a doctor. It might be a farmer. It might be a tradesman. It might be a presidential candidate. You don't know. A politician. And brothers and sisters, I can say that I have personally had that privilege. All of those people have sat with me, or I've been invited into their homes. So remember, this is a privilege that we have as the Church of Jesus Christ, and I want to encourage you in this today. We stated at the beginning that we live in a time where there is great loneliness. There's millions of people in our country that are suffering from loneliness, that don't have a connection. The Beatles sang a long time ago, there's a lot of lonely people in this world, and they got that right. One of the few things. But brothers and sisters, let's see it as an opportunity for the gospel to engage with our culture, to engage with those around us. As we conclude, if you are desirous of showing biblical hospitality, remember this. Make time for people. Pray for them specifically. Open your home to them and expect that God will work. Brothers and sisters, when we're doing this, we're going to see the power of the gospel. We're going to see the power of Jesus Christ at work changing lives. Isn't that what we all desire? Well, then let's be faithful in this. As families showing to the world the love that Christ has shown to us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, for this instruction this afternoon. And Father, we recognize that oftentimes we haven't made time for others. Lord, that we've thought mostly of ourselves. But Father, help us to understand the calling that we have been given as a church. Lord, to show the love of Jesus Christ in this tangible way. Father, help us to identify those whom you have placed around us that we should pray for. Lord, that we should take time for and get to know and develop relationships with. Lord, allow us the opportunity to invite them into our homes. Lord, and then direct and guide those conversations that we have. And Father, we know that you are at work in and through us, in and through your church. Use us, we pray, for your honor and for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.